On the one side of markets today, you have the spreading of the coronavirus and all of the fear of economic slowdown that ensues from that. On the other side, you have political risk, political discussions going on as the Democratic convention looks toward South Carolina. Tuesday, the debates happen, and we are getting a sense Bernie Sanders is the front runner that needs to be beaten for any of the other candidates to really emerge in a competitive way. Joining us now is Chris Liu, former Deputy Secretary of Labor and Senior Fellow at the University of Virginia Miller Center, also someone who has spent decades in public service working for the Obama administration and beyond. Chris, thank you so much for being with us. I want to just start with Bernie Sanders and his acceptance or lack thereof among the sort of more conventional Democratic Party. Are people starting to accept him more, or are people really pushing back within the Democratic Party on his nomination?
Well, I think you see both, but I would also caution people, look, we've had three states that have voted, three relatively small states. And yes, Senator Sanders has a huge amount of momentum right now, especially as early voting goes on for Super Tuesday, which is next Tuesday. But we've got a long way to go. You know, as I always point out to people, more delegates are going to be allocated April, May, and June than on Super Tuesday next week. And so, I think this is still a pretty fluid race. And as we saw from last week's debate, things can still change.
So, Chris, there's actually some growing concern that we've heard just recently that with Bernie Sanders in the lead, that were he to be the nominee, he would actually cause perhaps the Democrats to lose seats in Congress. Is that a valid concern?
It is. Look, I think this is a concern for, I think, all when you look at any of the candidates, not how well you do in terms of winning the White House. And I am confident that any of them has a pretty decent chance of beating Donald Trump, but it's what you do down ballot. I think part of the challenge is, and what we don't know is, what's the theory of the case? Is the theory of the case the Democrats need a nominee that tacks to the center to try to pick up some independents and never Trumpers, or is the theory of the case to expand the electorate? And can somebody like a Bernie Sanders bring in young voters, people of color? A lot of the people that voted for Barack Obama in 2008, but sat out in 2016.
Chris, you said you think that any of the candidates have a good chance of beating President Trump. Do you think that there is too much being made that Senator Sanders has a terrible chance or the worst chance against President Trump of all of the candidates?
If you base it simply on a polls right now, you would be hard-pressed to say that Sanders is any less electable than any of the other candidates. In fact, he polls quite well. I would also caution people, I think those head-to-head matchups are a little misleading this early. You really have to look down at the battleground states, and we are a long way. I mean, once this this nomination battle gets settled, no matter who it is, how well does the party come together? What does the convention look like? And then a lot of this, frankly, is about money, and I think what's people should be impressed by, if you on Democrats, if you're concerned about Sanders, is his ability to raise money without holding fundraisers is actually pretty extraordinary.
So, Chris, we've heard some discussion kind of ramping up recently about a brokered convention. Can you define what a brokered convention is and how it might play out this time around?
Well, and I have a special perspective on this. I'm a DNC superdelegate as well, so at some point in the process, I will get a say on the nominee. So essentially what it means is that if no one can get a majority of the delegates on the first ballot, and then by the time you get to the second ballot, we should say on the first ballot, you are pledged to vote for the candidate who you supported. By the second ballot, candidates can cut deals with other ones. They can release their delegates. Superdelegates don't get a chance to vote until the second ballot. And again, I don't want to go down that road because I'm still not sure we're going to get there right now. But you could basically have, multiple voting where, different candidates drop out and you have different coalitions forming. I don't think we've had one since, 1952 or so.
There's a huge risk here. I mean, this is what happened with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders the last time around in 2016. A lot of people felt like the establishment, to use President Trump's word, really hijacked Bernie Sanders' campaign and that, there's a risk that there's going to be a repeat of that. I mean, how worried are you that that is sort of going to be the impression?
Yeah, and this is part of why, as a DNC superdelegate, I'm not endorsing anybody. My view is we're Democrats. Democrats believe everyone should vote. Let's let everyone and all 50 states and the seven territories vote, and then let's see what happens after that. Because I think there's a concern that if you try to put your thumb on the scale too much, either for or against Bernie Sanders, that just, upsets, people on one side. We're three states into this. Let's let the other, 50-some go ahead and vote first.
Chris, is there a sense within the Democratic power structure, if you will, the party, the national committee, who actually is the best candidate against President Trump?
Well, and that's hard. For most of last year, we thought it was Joe Biden, and he still polls pretty well. But obviously, we've seen with Mayor Bloomberg coming up, and what's interesting, however, is that when you look at the public opinion polls, President Trump basically gets about 44-45% against every Democrat. And a reminder, he got 46% against Hillary Clinton. So he basically is hitting where his ceiling is right now. So from my perspective as a Democratic strategist, the key is that there not be a third party candidate and that the Democrats come in relatively united. And I think that's possible even after what happened in 2016, which was pretty contentious on the Democratic side. You largely had people, in the Sanders camp sort of fold back together and vote for Hillary Clinton.
So in Tuesday's debate, tomorrow's debate, we are going to see the second performance from Michael Bloomberg, who is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the owner of this radio station. You should get that in there. Also, Tom Steyer, another billionaire, is going to be on the stage there. And I'm wondering, what would you like to see? How much would you like to see the field contract in order to create momentum behind one candidate in the near term?
Yeah, and I would like to see the field contract. I think that's the important thing. And yeah, I take nothing away from Senator Sanders' performance in Nevada. He did incredibly well, far exceeded expectations. But there's still, well over, let's say, 60% of people in the Democratic primary or caucus in Nevada who voted for somebody else. And I just don't think we have a great sense of who is really the person that can capture the broadest coalition until we see this field shrink down. The problem is you've got, candidates who can self-fund, who don't answer to party establishment, or you've got candidates who can largely raise money through small dollars who don't answer to party officials as well. So it is kind of the Wild West, and this is just the way we are right now in politics.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. We always appreciate your thoughts. Chris Liu, Senior Fellow at the University of Virginia Miller Center, former Deputy Secretary of Labor under President Obama, joining us on the phone.